Welcome to the Old Presbyterian Meeting House Sermon Podcast, where faith meets everyday life here in Alexandria, Virginia. We're glad you're here. Now center yourself, take a deep breath, and let's dive in.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. Fall afresh on us. On that day, thousands of years ago, the followers of Jesus Christ were behind closed doors celebrating a Jewish feast known as Pentecost. 53 days had passed since the most terrible, violent day had taken place, and Jesus had been crucified and buried. 50 days since the tomb had been discovered empty and Jesus had made himself known in the breaking of the bread. Time had passed. The trauma and the amazement wasn't as front of mind as it had been 6 weeks ago. Life was moving on. And now they were together celebrating a festival that commemorated the planting of the harvest when suddenly, out of nowhere, a violent wind sweeps through the room, and what they see, what they think, they seem to see is tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in languages as the Spirit enabled them. Luke tells us that these people of God were God-fearing Jews, all from around the Middle East, and that this diverse group that started hearing the word of God in their own languages, and that they were, in a word, freaked out. There must have been some rationale. Maybe they had started drinking early. It's Peter who has this presence of mind to stand up and say, I know what's going on here. Calm down. Let me explain to you what's happening. Listen carefully to what I have to say. These people aren't drunk because it's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour my spirit on all my people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. In those days, they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens and signs of the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. And the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious days of the Lord. And everyone who calls on my name and the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there you have it. That's the church's birth story. This is the story of the event that sparked the flame, that turned a moment into a movement. It's amazing to me that this one powerful event on a Saturday morning could cause so much trouble, so much hope, so much life, so much love, so much hate, and so many committee meetings. It's amazing to me how much air we get out of a moment of recognizing the presence of God or the breath of the Holy Spirit. It can move us to change course, change jobs, take action, no peace. Just one word from the Holy Spirit that tells us we are going in the right direction can give us energy to move mountains. The Spirit is like breath. In the beginning, God breathed, and the dust breathed back enough oxygen, water, and carbon dioxide to make an atmosphere, to make a man. Job knew life as the breath of God in my nostrils, given and taken away. With breath, the Creator kindled the stars, parted the seas, woke a valley of dry bones, inspired a sacred text. So too, the Spirit inhaled and exhaled in a million quotidian ways, animates, revives, nourishes, sustains, and speaks. It is as near as the nose, and it is everywhere as the air. So pay attention. The Spirit is like fire, deceptively polite in its dance atop the wax and wick of our candles, but wild and mercurial as a storm when unleashed. When God led his people through the wilderness, the Spirit blazed in a fire that rested over the tabernacles each night. And when God made the church, the Spirit blazed in little fires that rested over people's heads. Quench not the Spirit, the apostle wrote. It is as necessary and as dangerous as fire, so pay attention. The Spirit is like wind, Earth's oldest sojourner, which is one place readies a sail, in another whittles a rock, in another commands the trees to bow, and in another gently lifts a bridal veil. The wind blows everywhere it pleases, Jesus said. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. There is no city, no village, no wilderness where you cannot find it. So pay attention. The Spirit is like a bird. The rabbis imagined her as a pigeon, and the Celts imagined her as a wild geese. She protected Israel like an eagle and like a hen brooded over her chicks. Hide me in the shadow of your wings, the poet king wrote. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. The Spirit is as common as a cooing pigeon and as transcendent as a high-flying eagle. So look up and sing back. Catch the light of God in a diaphanous scrim of a wing. Pay attention. The Spirit is like a womb from which the living are born again. We emerge, lashes still, wet from water, eyes unadjusted to the light, into a reanimated and freshly charged world. There are so many new things to see, so many gifts to give and receive, so many miracles to baffle and amaze. If we would only pay attention, if we would only let the Spirit surprise and catch our breath. The day the church was born, it was not born to one person or even one type of person, but rather to a large, diverse community. A community of people from all different kinds of backgrounds and experiences. There were people who leaned to the left. There were people who leaned to the right. And there were people who didn't lean at all. Maybe this was a mistake, because there were people who didn't want to listen to other people. Maybe the Holy Spirit didn't know what it was doing, because she has caused a huge mess. The Holy Spirit came into the room and the people were moved and inspired, and they went out the door and they started debating on how to organize, who was permitted to be baptized, how to treat the Gentiles, how to blend the Christian faith with the Jewish faith. And so you know what they did? They set up councils and they met and they debated over the humanity and the divinity of Christ. And then they got into arguments that led to fighting, that led to war. And then they had more council meetings and they came together and they decided to break up again. And then there was the Eastern Orthodox and the Roman Catholics. And then there were divisions in the West and they called that reform. And then those people protested about what was happening in the church. And guess what? They went to war again. And then some escaped and they went to this new land where there were people who were already worshiping the God they knew, but others called them heathens. And so they killed each other again. And then they formed worshiping communities and they started to preach and proclaim the gospel. And they had witch trials and they had revivals and they built cathedrals and meeting houses. And some people preached salvation by baptism and other people preached salvation by grace. And the churches were divided by black and white and Catholic and Protestant, denomination and non-denomination. And then people decided to have no more of this church organized religious stuff. They could just worship Jesus on the yoga mat or on the Saint mattress mat. And then people became Christians who practiced Buddhism. And then there were debates. Lord, were there the debates? There were the debates over circumcision and slavery and women in leadership and homosexuality and marriage and prayer in school and education and creation and Ten Commandments in the courtrooms and terms like Christian nationalism and the Christian right and the progressive church. And through all of this mess, they could not put an end to it. They could not put out the fire. They could not take the wind out of her sails. They could not clip her wings. The Holy Spirit persevered. The Holy Spirit kept on. The Holy Spirit kept on and spoke through the prophets and the poets, through the teachers and the neighbors, through the pastors and through the children. The Holy Spirit kept on. The Holy Spirit knew what it was doing, even when the people did not. The Holy Spirit still knows what it is doing, despite our desire to tame it, control it, stifle it, and ignore it. The Holy Spirit will not be silenced. It will not be structured. It will not be put into a box or made into an agenda item. We forget that this church does not belong to us. No church belongs to the people or to one person. No church is a building or a program or a tradition. We are but stewards of the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. This morning, we ordain elders and deacons into the leadership of our congregation. This annual ritual of affirming vows and laying on of hands is more than asking them to keep the lights on or keep the budget going. We are saying in a full-throated voice, you are called by the Holy Spirit to do this work, and we expect you to discern the working of the Holy Spirit and to respond not to the status quo, not to doing the same things we've always done, but to be brave and filled with hope, to act so crazy that people think and say, have you heard about those people at OPMH? I think they're drunk. And then someone says, no, they're not drunk. They're just filled up. They're just filled up with the Holy Spirit. You gotta come and see it. Archbishop Desmond Tutu once told this story at a commencement address. He says, you know the story about the farmer who in his backyard had chickens? And one was a little odd looking. It behaved like a chicken. It was pecking away like all the other chickens. It didn't know there was a blue sky overhead and a glorious sunshine until someone who was knowledgeable in these things came along and said to the farmer, hey man, that's no chicken. That's an eagle. Farmer said, no, man. That is a chicken. It behaves like a chicken. And the man said, no. Give it to me, please. And he gave it to this knowledgeable man. And this man took this strange-looking chicken and climbed the mountain towards the sun and said, fly, eagle. Fly. The strange-looking chicken shook itself, spread out its pinions, and lifted off, and soared, and flew away into the distance. God says to all of us, you are no chicken. You are an eagle. Fly, eagle. God wants us to shake off ourselves, spread our pinions, and lift off and soar and rise towards the confident and the good and the beautiful. Rise towards the compassionate and the gentle and the caring. Rise to become what God intends for us to be. Eagles, not chickens. Let us pray. We name you wind. We name you breath. We name you fire. We name you third person. We name you Holy Spirit. We name you and you blow, and you blow hard and blow cold. You blow hot, you blow strong. You blow gentle and you blow new. Blowing the world out of nothing to abundance, blowing the church out of despair into new hope, blowing little David from shepherd boy to Messiah, blowing to make things new that never were. So blow this day. Holy Spirit, blow here and there, power. Blow even us. Rush us beyond ourselves. Rush us beyond our hopes. Rush us beyond our fears until we enact your newness in the world. Come, Holy Spirit. Come.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. We are glad to walk beside you in faith, reflection, and community. We hope today's sermon spoke to you. If so, please share it with a friend. Find us online at opmh.org/podcast. And until next time, may grace and peace go with you.